Sean Mice here, and going to teach now on creating a complete information marketing product funnel and doing it very, very quickly. And obviously the reason for this is that it is so easy. There's two traps that people tend to fall into when they're building their online business. And the biggest piece of one of those traps is not having products. And so what do? You know, and it's easy to begin to rely on affiliate marketing, and then our business becomes centered around other people instead of us, and we don't build relationship with our list. Or the second thing that happens is we say, well, I can't sell anything until I have a product, so I'm going to write an ebook. And the first ebook that most people write takes a long time. I mean, I've had clients that tell me they've been working on an ebook for years, others that may work on the ebook for 6 months or 90 days before they're able to create it. That just really takes away from the fire. If, you know, you start your online business today and it's 90 days before you even have the first product available to sell, that's rough. I mean, that puts you 90 days behind, and then now you only have one product. And so very specifically, what I'm going to show you right now is one way that you can very quickly create a product funnel. Okay, and obviously when I give it to you, it's going to be a very specific product funnel, some very specific steps to take. And this is designed to be a foundation. You can build on this foundation over time. You can create additional varied types of products. You can create different kinds of products to be able to put into your funnel as time goes on. You know, a phrase that I used in the earlier teaching was this idea that if you build your foundation correctly and you get your foundation in place, you can literally bolt things on, just like you can, you know, bolt additional accessories onto your car. You can bolt additional pieces on at will as time goes on. You don't want to build something that's so complex that in order to put one more piece in, you've got to remake your whole business. And I've seen people do that too. When they want to launch a new product, it doesn't fit with everything else. They have to remake their whole business. They go through these patterns of, you know, making sales and remaking their business and making more sales and remaking their business. You don't want to do that. You want to create a solid foundation. You can just literally bolt things onto the back end. And once you have this product funnel that I'm going to share with you today, you've got 3, 4, 5, 6 products in the first month. Then if you want to add another product, great. You just put it on to the end, okay? Or you plug it in the middle somewhere, okay? And obviously this fits in with the automated autoresponder sequences that we've been discussing, this idea that you're going to promote one product to your automated list, through your automated email campaign for whatever the time frame is, 7 to 10 to 14 days, okay, you're going to promote that. And then when that's over, you're going to begin to promote something else. You're going to be tracking and testing and split testing on your sales page. You're going to be tracking and testing, you know, which emails perform and create the most sales. And as that campaign grows, you know, let's say it's got 100 emails in it, and you're tracking the conversion rate on each one of those emails, you're able to see which ones perform better than others. You can move the ones that perform better to earlier parts in the campaign when you have higher opening click-through rates. And over time, your conversion rates will go up and up and up, and your dollars per subscriber will go up and up and up. Okay, so let's talk about creating products. Now, there's one assumption that is critical. It's a critical assumption if you're in information marketing. And that critical assumption is that you know your topic. You know your niche. Okay, now, unfortunately, for many people coming online, they are told that they don't really need to know very much about their niche. They can just interview experts. They can use affiliate products. They can fake it till they make it. And I tend to really disagree with all of that. I believe that when you get started in information marketing, the first thing that you need to do is get an education in your niche. Now, obviously, if your online niche is the same as your offline niche, so if you're a doctor or a psychologist by trade, then your offline niche is, you know, medicine or psychology, then it'd be real easy. You already have the knowledge. But if you're coming online and you don't have any knowledge about your topic, the very first thing that you need is an education. You know, it's just like somebody wants to go become a dentist. They can't just hang a sign that says, dentist, come on in, and, you know, we'll try to clean your teeth. And, you know, if you have one that hurts, we'll try to rip it out. You know, they're going to go and get an education. And, you know, even if you were to decide you wanted to franchise a sandwich shop, you'd have to go get an education. That might be a shorter education, but you're going to have to find out, you know, where do I buy bread? You know, how do we make a sandwich? You know, what things do people like on their sandwiches? Do they like mayonnaise or mustard or ketchup? You know, what kind of meat should we use? Okay, you're going to have to learn how to make a sandwich. And you're going to have to learn how to bake the bread if you're going to bake the bread. You have to learn how to run the cash register. You know, you have to learn some basic marketing. You know, hey, are we going to send flyers out? Or, you know, what are we going to do? And so anytime that you start a brand new business, you know, you have to get an education. And I also believe that this is something that people so often leave out of information marketing. They think that for some reason or another, they think they don't have to get any kind of an education. And I understand why. There's so many sales pages out there that say, you know, just use my magic system and just, you know, pay me this money and fill in these blanks and the money will just come right back to you 10 times. And it's automatic and you just do this and it happens and no education needed and you don't need to know anything. And we see this so much online. We see so many sales letters that really focus on the fact that, you know, you don't need any education. You can be uneducated. Maybe you can be illiterate. You just don't need to know anything to start an online business. And you know, obviously, I agree with the fact that, I mean, you don't need a college education, and you don't have to have a certain type of a background. But unfortunately, I believe that idea of you don't need an education, that idea that you don't need to know anything, that you can start from scratch, that all you need to do is know how to do is turn your computer on. I believe that misleads people into believing that they don't have to have knowledge about what they're going to be teaching. And if you're in information marketing, you're teaching. And if you're teaching, you have to know your material. So you have to have an education. And so this information presupposes that you have an education in your topic. And if you don't, instead of starting to create a product, take 30 days and get an education. You know, go to the bookstore and buy every book on the shelf that's on your topic. Go to the library and rent every book on the shelf that's on your topic. Go to Amazon.com and buy 25 books that are on your topic and read and study them all. And read through the bibliography and see if you can find some other books to buy and read. Go out and buy all of your competition's products. If you buy all of your competition's products and learn everything all of your competition knows, my guess is you'll know more than any one of your competition combined. Okay, so let's get started on creating the actual products. Okay, the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to determine what I'm going to call here 6 entry topics. Now, I'm using the number 6 because I believe that's a good foundational place. You can start with one product. You can start with 25. Okay, however, you don't need more than 6. Probably don't need more than 4. Okay, but you need more than 1. Okay. You need more than 2. So I like 6. I think if you have 6 entry-level products, that you have a good foundation. Now, that might be scary for some of you because for many of you, it takes 90 days to a year to create one product. So creating 6 products might take 6 years, but not when I get done today. Okay? Not when I get done today. We're presupposing you know the information, and you're going to determine what are 6 topics that people need help with in your niche. And if you don't know what those topics are, you go online to the various forums. You can go to Yahoo Answers. You can go to Ask Jeeves. You can, you know, any place that people in your niche hang out, go in there and ask people what they're looking for. In fact, if you look for what they're already asking in those forums, you will already find out what people need that's not being marketed correctly. Okay? Because here's the thing. If somebody's asking about it in a forum, that means they don't know where to get the information. If they don't know where to get the information, then there's a hole where there's a vacuum that you can fill by creating a product that answers that need. Okay, so you're going to start out with 6 needs. Okay, now, What you're going to do is for each one of these needs, you're going to record 1 to 2 hours of information. Okay, now this is going to be targeted information that specifically targets that niche information, that specifically teaches in the same detail that I'm teaching right here for this topic, that is going to teach your buyers exactly what they need to know. Okay, and I encourage you that these 1 to 2 hour segments need to be detailed. They need to give people more information than they're able to gather by surfing for free online. Okay? They need to go into detail, and they do not need to have lots of fluff. Okay? And I want to stress this because, you know, I know that in creating a 1 to 2 hour entry-level product, you're going to be maybe your competitor has a 10-hour product. Okay, but if you buy that 10-hour product and listen to it, if it's the entry-level product, you're probably going to find there's a lot of fluff. That out of 10 hours, there's only 1 or 2 hours of genuine information. Okay, now, you have a choice. You can record 10 hours of information that's 9 hours of fluff and 1 hour of 1 hour of totally solid information. Okay, or you can just record the 1 hour of solid information. And my experience has been that when people buy 1 hour of solid information, they are happier with that 1 hour of solid information than if they buy 10 hours of fluff, because they have to take 10 hours to wade through that information. Okay, and so I believe that you can create, I've done it repeatedly in the past. I've done highly concise packages that sell really well at entry price points. Okay, now, so we're going to record 1 to 2 hours of each one of those products. And the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to outline what that product is going to be. Okay, so whatever your topic is for this particular item, for this particular recording, you're going to break it into a number of ideas or steps. Okay, now, you know that in a lot of my teaching, I use the number 10. And the reason that I give people the number 10 is because I find that most people need a number. If you don't give them a number, they get stuck on 2, okay? And a lot of times, obviously it doesn't happen with everybody. And so I found that if I just give people a number 10, they get to 8 and then they get stuck, and that's fine because 8's a great number. Okay? Or they get to 10 and they have some more, and then they might write me and say, can I go with 12? Well, of course you can go with 12, okay? And so I want you to understand that's why I usually use the number 10. It doesn't have to be 10. It can be 6 points. It can be 8 points. I think in creating my outline for this product that I'm recording, I believe that I had about 6 points, okay? And each one of those 6 points became a specific topic and a specific recording, okay? So you're going to think about what your topic is, and you're going to break it into steps, okay? Step 1 is this. Step 2 is this. Step 3 is this. Step 4 is this. Step 5 is this. Step 6 is this. You're going to write that down on a sheet of paper, or you can type it into a Word document. Okay, word processing document. And then under each one of those topics, you're going to write a synopsis of what you're going to teach. Now, that synopsis could be a list of steps to do the step. Okay, so step 1 might have some things that you're going to teach about, whether it may be steps to do step 1, it may be explanation about step 1, it may whatever. Okay, and you're going to write out either a synopsis or a list of bullet points that you're going to teach from. You're going to teach when you do the recording, okay? You're going to do this for every single one of those points, okay? So when you get done, you know, you might have, and I'll be honest with you folks, I like to write this stuff out, okay? When I teach in other places where I'm teaching, you know, integrated article marketing and all of that, I usually have people use a word processing document. The reason for that is that they can copy and paste and use that same outline for creating multiple products. When I'll be honest, though, when I normally do this, I write it on a sheet of paper. The reason I write it on a sheet of paper is it's really easy for me to edit on the fly. I don't have to have my computer open. You know, if I'm getting ready to record and I just want to look at those notes 5 more minutes, I can go into the pizza shop and eat some pizza while I'm preparing for recording, and I can pull out the piece of paper and I can say, okay, add right here and add right here. Obviously, you can do all that on the computer. But I find that on the fly, boy, just writing it out makes it make a lot of sense for me. Okay, so I write it out. And the next step is going to be to record it. Okay, now, there's a few different ways that you can record. and I'm not going to go into great detail on this. The first way that you can do it is you can literally buy an MP3 recording software for your computer if it doesn't already come with some. Okay, I'm not going to recommend any. My guess is you probably got some on your computer already. All you need to do is buy a microphone for your computer to do it. Okay, there's another company that I actually use, and that's Audio Acrobat. I use Audio Acrobat, and there's literally step-by-step, really easy directions on Audio Acrobat. You can record by calling a certain phone number on your telephone, and they give you a PIN number, and then as soon as you hit the PIN number and you hit their instructions, whatever you say becomes recorded. They convert it on their software to an MP3, and a few minutes after you finish your telephone call, it is loaded up and ready to go. You could literally copy and paste the link they give you to send out and put it on your download page. And in fact, I do have download pages that still contain the Audio Acrobat original scripting that they give me rather than uploading it to my own server. Okay. Now, most MP3s I do upload to my own server. However, I do have content that I regularly make money selling that literally has the links that they give me, and they host that MP3 for me. Okay, you can record on your computer. You can record three-way conversations. You can record conferences. There's all kinds of things you can record using Audio Acrobat. Okay, the service that I personally use for recording a lot of what I do, because a lot of the teaching that I do is live teaching, and I'll invite someone to participate with me so that I can get feedback. The reason I like feedback when I'm teaching is it's not necessary. The reason I like feedback when I'm teaching is that if for some reason what I'm teaching doesn't make sense, some part of it doesn't make sense, the person that's on the phone with me can ask me, hey, what does that mean? Can you tell me more about that? I'm confused. They're confused. A lot of other people might be confused, and then I'm able to answer that question. You don't need that element when you're recording these entry-level items. What will happen is when you sell it the first time, you will get emails with people asking you the same questions. All you do is take all their questions, answer them for them as they send them to you in emails, take all their questions, and at the end of the week, after you've made 10 sales or 20 sales or 100 sales, whatever, you simply take all the people's questions and record a Q&A recording and just add it to the download page so that all future buyers will get the add-on information. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. So the software that I personally use to do these types of three-way conversations is Instant Teleseminar, which is a product put out by Xiosoft.com, Xiosoft.com. Okay. There are plenty of other services that will do the same thing. In fact, I'm not even recommending or not recommending either one of these services. I'm simply indicating that that's what I use. I don't know if either one of these are the best on the market. Okay. I use them. I like them. They work really well for me. I understand them. I don't have to learn new software. You know, every once in a while you'll get somebody that wants to recommend something that's better than what you have already. For me, the opportunity cost of learning a new type of software is much greater than simply going along with what I already love. Okay, and so if you've got something you like better, by all means, use that. Okay. I use this process, or a very similar process, to create almost all, or probably now all, of my entry-level products. Okay, now, I told you it's 1 to 2 hours worth of content. Okay, what I like to do is to break that content up into recordings on each of those particular topics. Okay, so if you've got the six topics, I like to have six recordings. Now, these recordings don't need to be any particular length. They need to be exactly as long as is necessary to teach that topic. So if one topic takes 10 minutes, that's a 10-minute recording. If another topic takes 2 hours, then that's a 2-hour recording. Okay, this allows me this allows a couple of things to happen. One of the things that happens is if the person wants to learn and listen, they want to skip ahead to a particular topic. They can easily do it simply by selecting the audio for whatever the particular topic is that they want to learn. Okay? And it, really, that's the biggest thing, is that people are able to do that. And if they're going through just sequentially, starting at the beginning, they can maybe listen to one recording a day, you know, over the course of, let's say, 6 days, rather than having to listen to a full two-hour recording all in one sitting and maybe missing some of what's going on. So I just find that that's a really convenient way to do it. Now, I really want to stress this idea that, that if you've done step one, which is you know your material, creating the outline takes maybe half an hour, okay? Literally half an hour. Now, the first one might take a little bit longer, but you're literally making a very basic outline that you're going to teach from. The actual recording of 2 hours worth of information takes exactly 2 hours. If you're recording 1 hour of information, it takes 1 hour. If you're recording 3 hours of information, it takes 3 hours. So this is something literally, if you create a 2 hour product, maybe it has 4 half-hour recordings in it that teach specifically exactly what it is that you're teaching, okay? Then that's your introductory product. It takes you 2 hours to create, a half an hour for outline, 2.5 hours. Many of you could create one product a day for the next 6 days and have your six products created. Or you could create one product a week for the next 6 weeks and have your six products created. Okay, now, obviously having six products is nice for a couple of different reasons. Number one, gives you several entry points where people can come in to a, for one particular product and eventually be upsold to the other five products. The second thing that it does is it allows you to have six products to market to someone new that comes onto your list. Say they don't buy product number one, now you expose them to product number two. They don't buy product number three, you expose them to product number four. Okay, any questions at all on this process of creating an entry-level product to sell your list?
I have a question, Sean.
Sure, go ahead, Elaine.
So, if we're using this method to create an entry-level product and we wanted to create an ebook, all we'd have to do is send the MP3 to get transcribed and produce the ebook in that method, in that way, wouldn't we?
Yes, we certainly could do that. Yes, we certainly could do that. Okay, and then we could use that transcription. We could clean it up. We could probably make the ebook even more concise because, I mean, even if you think about the teaching that I've been doing now for what, the last 15 or 20 minutes, there's been a little bit of explanation that might be duplicitous from one of the other recordings. And so if you're putting all this into an ebook, you could certainly take that particular information out. I'll tell you why, though, I'm not too fond of using this as an ebook. And that is because the ebook generally commands a lower price just because it's an ebook. The problem is that I believe that you should be selling your information based on what it's worth and what the value is to the buyer for the information, not the number of words or not the number of hours. And this is something I've really been building into and working on in my business. It's so easy to price according to how many recordings there are, how many pages there are. But really, things should not be priced that way. They should be priced based on the value that they deliver. Okay, so if you've got an MP3 that has a value of $200, let's say, that means that the value of the information in it is $200. Well, if you break that down into an ebook and the same information is in the ebook, it's just in written form, you're going to have a really hard time selling that for $197 when you have the MP3s of the same information for $197. It really should not be sold for less than $197 if that's what the market will bear for that particular information. Okay, I really shy away from doing that. Okay, now, is that something that you could use to create some, you know, partial giveaway ebooks? You know, maybe take 10 minutes worth of your recording and make that into a giveaway ebook? Yes, absolutely. You certainly could do that. Could you take that MP3 information, have it transcribed, and then make 400-word articles out of it? Yes, absolutely. And to be literal with you, You're right. You could create the ebook from it. I just don't see that in today's market as being the greatest strategy. I just don't see that as being the greatest strategy in today's market. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And based on what you've just said, could I, if I wanted to, not go with the MP3s but go with CDs? So if someone made a purchase, I'll send them an MP3, but in the post would be two sets of CDs, which will give more value.
You can certainly sell CDs instead of MP3s. However, I'm finding in my testing that conversion rates aren't any higher for the physical product. In fact, I'm finding that sometimes an MP3 converts at a higher conversion rate than the CD. And if that's the case, then why create the physical product if... And there's obviously... Let me rephrase what I just said. There's lots of good reasons to create the physical product, okay? However, if we're just talking about an entry-level sale, I believe conversion rates are the same, if not higher, with MP3s for that first initial sale. And I'll tell you, the place that CDs, the physical product, is really helpful is in creating long-term value and in creating, getting people to the place where they do trust you more and they look to you as the trusted advisor and the trusted expert. And I believe the great place to do that is on your second product that someone buys, not your first one. Obviously, that can be argued all over the place. But here's the thing. If somebody's looking at your entry-level product, they have a problem and they need an answer now, not 5 days later when your package gets to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that answers my question. And now I know exactly in what direction I need to go.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Folks, any other questions on these entry-level products? Okay, if there aren't any other questions, let's move on to creating your first upsell. Okay, now I want to explain upsell here. When I, you know, the common language that folks use now in the internet marketing niche and internet marketing world is that an upsell is something that if someone purchases product one from you, then as soon as they buy it, they have an opportunity on the download page or on the thank you page or on an one-time offer page to buy the upsell. Okay, and that's a great place to create some more revenue right now. Okay, however, I'm not fully convinced after lots of testing, and I'm not fully convinced that that's the way to maximize total revenue through the lifetime of the customer. You know, is it a way to bump an extra 20% today? You know, if you have 10 people buy a $100 product, so it's $1,000, and you get two of them to buy another $100 product, let's just say, for example, on average, you know, you add another 20% of revenue. You know, can you create nice upsell, you know, streams that you create 50% or even 100% of additional revenue right there on the upsell? Yeah, in many niches, you can. Okay, so you double the $1,000 to $2,000 right there on the spot. Okay. However, my experience is that if you don't upsell these individuals, then a week or two later, they'll spend the same money they would have spent with you right there on the upsell page. Okay. That's my experience. They'll spend just as much with you a week later as they would have right away. And I mean, we know that, and I think we have to be careful here because, you know, sometimes we're talking about a marketer that really doesn't work a whole lot on trust and relationship. They just want to make the sales. And that's okay. But in my business, I'm big on the trust and relationship. I don't want people that just buy one product from me. I really don't. I mean, sure, the extra $97 is nice, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the person that's going to buy from me once and study it and say, wow, this is great information. I'd like to get more from Sean. And then go out and buy something else. And a month later, they say, boy, that was great. I used it and it helped my business. I'm going to come back to Sean, and I'm going to buy something else. I want people that are going to buy something from me every single month for 3 years and continue to create great value, okay? And I want to build that relationship. And I believe that those instant upsells, I don't have proof of this, but I just believe that those instant upsells pull away from that. I work so hard for 14 days when somebody comes into my campaign to get them to make a I'm not even trying to get them to make a purchase, especially the first 5 to 7 days. All I want them to do is trust me. That's it. I want to give them competent information. I want people to trust me. I want them to already use something I give them for free and have some results in their business. Then when they buy the first product, you know, that, to me, that's not an opportunity. Although I could make it into one, I don't believe that that should be an opportunity to just try to sell them as much as possible. I think that should be an opportunity to over-deliver so that they are building on the trust they've already established with me so that now their trust grows and they'll buy more in the future. And that's just my personal theory. Obviously, split test it on your own lists. You know, see, do you make more revenue by doing an instant upsell or do you make more revenue by waiting 10 days? You know, where do you make the most revenue? Where do you make the most revenue 3 years from now? And here's the thing. I know a lot of people, when they're first starting out, they don't care about their revenue 3 years from now because they don't have any idea what that might look like. But for me, I have people on my list that have been buying for me for years now. I mean, literally right now, today, as I record this, you know, there's people that have bought for me for 4 years, literally for 4 years, and still trust me to buy the next thing that comes out. Okay, now, for me, when I make a sale today, I'm not interested in the quick buck that I'm going to get by making that quick upsell happen. And folks, that's not to say that from time to time, if an upsell is appropriate, if everything looks good, you know, that I'm not going to offer an upsell from time to time. But in terms of just making it the standard thing that I do all the time, I believe that the value, the total customer value, possibly can be higher by not focusing so much on that. So a bit of a rabbit trail I just went down there. This was not in my outline notes. I gave it to you extra, so we just call that a bonus. But when I'm talking about an upsell, I'm thinking about upselling someone after they have had time to consume the information. So they purchase a $97 item, and they use it, they consume it, they begin to use it, they begin to get results. Okay, and then 7 to 10 days later, I can offer them something that is a much higher ticket item than that first initial item, and there's great chance that they're going to make that purchase. Okay, in fact, they'll invest more with me after 7 to 10 days than they would have invested on the upsell. And what this does is it gives me an opportunity to market, you know, a $2,000 coaching program or a $1,000 home study course. Okay, so the psychology here is, let's say there's 10 topics in your niche that someone could learn about. And really, they could learn about all 10 of these topics. Now, they could learn one topic from you, one topic from your competition, and one topic from their competition, and literally buy products to learn from 10 different people. What's probably going to happen is they're not going to like everybody's teaching style. Okay? You know, some people like my teaching style, and some people probably don't like my teaching style, but that's okay. Because the people that do, they buy from me, and the people that don't, it's okay. They'll buy from my competition, and that'll work because that's the right teaching style for them. Okay. Now, if someone buys your initial product, let's say it's a $97 2-hour recording, they like it. They got great value. They were really excited about the fact that it was 2 hours instead of 10 for the exact same content. They learned a lot. They were able to go out and implement it immediately. And 7 to 10 days down the road, they're thinking, I need more information on this topic. You know, I wanted to do more. Maybe they're looking at your competition. And now you offer them a complete home study course that contains advanced information on all 10 topics that they need. Okay? Because of the fact that they've just purchased from you and they like what they've gotten from you, that makes them likely to be open to purchasing your much larger program than they would have been willing to trust you to provide on the upsell. Because remember, they were buying a $97 product because that's what they trusted you to be able to purchase from you. Until they consume that, their trust hasn't grown. Okay, sure, there's some psychological evidence. I mean, there is psychological evidence that shows that, you know, if somebody's got their wallet open and they made one purchase, then they'll, you know, percentage of them will make the second purchase. Okay, but again, going back to the psychology of this, I'm really leaning towards you lose more in trust than you gain in total revenue over the life of the customer. That's what I'm concerned with, is that life of the customer. So we've got this $997 product, perhaps, that we're going to offer 7 to 10 days later. Now, this is going to be the upsell. It's going to happen instead of on the download page or the thank you page. It's going to happen 7 to 10 days later in your campaign. Now, before I teach on how you're going to create this home study course, I want you to remember what I talked about earlier about building your foundation when you're creating your products. You're building your initial foundation of 6 products. And in fact, you don't even need all 6 before you can start selling. You start by selling number 1 as soon as you create it. And next week, when you open up, when you release product number 2, when you create product number 2, you release it to your list. More people will buy product number 2. Some of the people that bought product number 1 might buy product number 2. And then week 3, you release something else. You sell that to your list. People that bought nothing might buy this. Some people that bought product number 1 might buy this. Some people that bought product number 2 might buy product number 3. And so on. You're just adding that new product on, and you're putting it in your autoresponder, as I taught in the last teaching. You're simply putting that into the autoresponder. Okay, so you don't have to start out with this upsell. However, once you've created those 6 products, now you go out and create your complete home study course, for example. And let's just use the $997 number. Okay, now, if you start out with a $97 entry-level product, I find that $997 is a good multiple. It's 10-time multiple is nice for that second product. Okay? Now, if you start out, let's say, a $500 product, and then what you may want to do is go with instead a $2,000 product for your second product. That'd be a multiple of 4. Okay? You probably even go with a $5,000 product, which would be the full multiple of 10, okay, for that second product. So somewhere between, let's say, a multiple of 4 and 10 for the second product. Okay, now, the way that you are going to be, let's talk about two things. We'll talk first about the creation of that $997 product, okay, and then we'll talk about the psychology of capturing as many sales as possible. Okay, so let's talk about the creation of that product. We're going to make this fast, and the reason that we can make this fast is because we're going to use the exact same process for creating our 10-hour program, that's $997 in this example, as we used to create our 1 to 2 hour program that was $97. Okay, we're going to determine what our topics are. Let's say these are more advanced topics. We're going to list out all of these topics. Okay, we're going to have 10 main topics, for example, and then we're going to have some ideas that we're going to share during each one of those hours. We're going to write those out, or we're going to type those into a Word document, and we're going to record this 1 hour at a time. Okay? And the reason I stress the record this 1 hour at a time is, you know, a lot of people will put off creating something like this because it's going to take 10 hours of recording. They don't have 10 hours today, and you probably won't have 10 hours tomorrow, and you won't have 10 hours the next day. But if you really were serious about creating a coaching or a complete home study course, could you not set aside 1 hour a day for 10 days? Once you've written the outline, just record 1 hour every single day for 10 days, and in 2 weeks, you'd have a complete home study course that you could offer on the back end. Now, remember, you're not offering it until 7 and 10 days after somebody's made the first purchase anyway. Okay? So this is something literally, if you were to record 1 hour a day, you could create, let's say you even had 2 hour products at the beginning, 1 hour a day, it would take you 12 days to create your first 6 products, okay? And then it would take you another 10 days to create your home study course, 22 days, and you'd have your 6 products plus your home study course. Okay, now, not everybody is going to purchase the $997 home study course at first blush. So let's say that we use our automated campaign to market to these individuals for 3 days in a row, the $997 course, and we have a percentage of people that purchase it, 1% purchase it, whatever, 3% purchase, whatever. Okay, remember, these are buyers. It's only being promoted to people that have bought the earlier purchase. So they go through 3 days at $997. Maybe we give them a break for a day or two. Now we come back with a payment offer. Okay, perhaps $997 was too much right now. However, we can split this into three payments of $337. And what we will find is whatever conversion rate that we were able to make on the first $997, we will find that that many people, again, will purchase at the payment rate. Okay, now, you might ask, well, why not start with payments? Well, because if we start with payments, then the total number of sales, what I believe that we see in the test that we do, okay, is that we don't get as many total sales. We start out with that 337 number, okay? And the reason for that is the three payments for the 337. And the reason for that is that people initially assign value to something based on the first price that they seriously consider purchasing the item at. Okay? And so if they initially consider purchasing something at $997, they're going to assign more value to it than the $337 payment. Okay? And so this allows us to capture those individuals who are going to pay the full $997 right up front. It allows us to cement in people's mind that this is worth $997. And then when we make a three payments of $337 offer, okay, people feel like they're getting a great value for their money because they're able to begin studying for $337. Okay, now, we could take this to the next step and come up with after 3 to 5 additional days, we could come up with another payment price that we could put in there. So we might have 10 payments of $97 or 12 payments of $97. Or we could drop down now to a lower-priced home study course. And now this could be a portion of your big home study course, so half of big home study course. You know, you could break your 10 program home study course down into 2 segments of Part 1 and Part B. Okay, and then you could offer them, you know, well, you don't want to invest $997 or three payments of $337 for the entire program, but I put together a special offer for you today, and this is Part 1 of the program. You purchase that today for, you know, $497, and when you've completed Part 1, if you wish to purchase Part 2, you can, and I'll give you a great deal on it. Okay? But if you don't, then that's okay. If all you need is Part 1, then that's okay. And some people will purchase at $497, and we'll do the same. And remember, we're automating all of this in our automated campaign, and 3 to 5 days after they've had the opportunity to purchase at $497, now maybe they have an opportunity to purchase at 3 payments of $70. 5 days later, they have an opportunity to purchase at 5 days or 5 payments of $97. You could even take this to the extreme and do 10 payments of $57. Okay, and what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to sell at a fair price because the price really is the same to everybody that purchases it. Okay, you're allowing people to purchase this at a payment price that works for them. Obviously, the person that's paying $57 a month, they're going to pay the same thing or maybe even a little bit more at the end of the payment term. Okay? However, they're able to make that payment in chunks, in payments, that make sense for them because that's what they're able to afford. Okay? Now, this process allows us to find out what's the highest price that someone's able to afford to make purchases. If we were to start out with, let's say, 10 payments at $570 instead of one payment of $497, then a lot of people might opt for the payments of $57 that would have been willing to make the full payment earlier. And now, in the long run, your cash flow is going to be probably a little bit less on the payments because not everybody makes all of the payments. Okay, so certainly that is factored in. But the biggest difference here is that if someone makes that $997 purchase, then the money has already been invested. We can do the same thing 7 to 10 days after that purchase and upsell to something else. Okay, whereas if somebody goes on to a payment plan of 10 payments of $57, you're not going to be able to upsell them to a $3,000 package 7 to 10 days later. You might be able to upsell them into $97 a month payments or something like that. Okay, and so what this allows us to do is use this as a filter to determine at what price point individuals are willing to pay that are on our list. And based on their willingness and ability to pay, we can offer products and services that fit into their needs and their price point. Let's open up the call And let's open up the call. And any questions on anything that I've just covered? Any questions? Okay, folks, I'm going to go back to Keith again. Okay, let me come back to my notes here. Okay, now, I'm going to give you another way that you can create your 997 home study course. Another way that you could create your 997 home study course, let's say it's going to have 10 lessons, okay, you could, or 10 recordings, you could sell it as a 10-week coaching program. You know, the delivery information will be exactly the same on those, each one of those 1-hour segments. But instead of recording those segments, let's say in your home office, or in your spare bedroom, okay, in by yourself or with one other person on the call, okay, instead, you would record each one of those sessions as a live coaching session where people, you could have your coaching clients speak up and ask questions. Okay, at the end of 10 weeks, you would have a 10-hour home study course. Okay, so you just simply take the recordings from that coaching program and put those recordings into, package those up so that it becomes a home study course, okay? And obviously, the primary product creation information that I'm giving you here is about simply sitting down and recording those as quickly as possible. I go into great depth in my coaching program course on, I mean, literally hours of content on how to launch a 10-week coaching program, just like what I've discussed. You don't need to do that in any way, shape, or form. You can literally record it the way that I've taught you. But I did have that in my notes, and I want to share this with that with you as an option, as an idea, especially for those of you that perhaps already have coaching programs. Let's talk about creating a sales letter for your product, okay? Now, when you're first starting out, you don't know how to write a sales letter. And if you're just starting out, you don't know how to create a product, but I've just taught you how to do it, literally step by step exactly how to do it. And creating a product is something that I can teach in half an hour, 45 minutes. Those are literally the steps. I've given you those steps. However, to learn to write a good, compelling sales letter could take 3 months, 6 months, a year. Many people take 5 years before they get to the place where they can write a nice, compelling sales letter. And I say 5 years or 3 years, I mean of work, learning how to write the words, learning what to write, learning how to write it. Obviously, if your background is some type of other type of sales, then hey, writing a sales letter is going to be a lot easier. What I find is the very easiest thing for beginners to do when they are creating their initial products is to not try to write their own sales letter. Instead, to use sales letter software. And I'm going to give a couple of suggestions right here for which ones I recommend that I've used and my clients have used in the growing process. Now, one of the big core arguments here for people is, well, it won't say exactly what I want it to say. And you know, it won't tell them all about my product. These sales letter softwares will be able to tell them as much as you want, okay, because you can certainly customize all of the language. You know, but one of the things that I find that beginners do when they're writing sales letters is they spend far too much time telling all about their product instead of all the other things that a sales letter should do. And my experience has shown that your time is far better spent creating one more product than learning how to write a sales letter your first month. Now, I want to be clear. You know, if you're going to make a full-time living in information marketing, or you're going to make more than a full-time living in information marketing, at some point, you need to learn to write good copy. I really believe that. even if you're going to outsource everything that you do, I really believe that you personally need to learn to write good copy, even if you're not going to write most of your own copy. If you know how to do it, then you can evaluate a copy that someone does for you. If you hire a copywriter to do write copy for you, go read it and evaluate it. But you won't be able to do that if you don't know it. And so in the long run, I believe that you need to learn to write copy. Now, in the short run, though, and that's what this is about, because you want to get these products out fast, I believe you should use sales letter software. Now, one way to find that software is you can just Google sales letter software, but I don't recommend doing that. And because there's a lot of software out that just basically is fill in the blanks, headlines and all the different sections, and it just pretty much uses, in my experience, just standard sales phrases, and you fill in a lot of your own material, and I just don't like the way that a lot of that software looks. Okay, so I'm going to recommend a couple that I believe very strongly in, and that is Brett McFall's sales letter software, and I don't have a link for you. You literally Google Brett, Brett, and then McFalls, McFalls. And then Marlon Sanders has an excellent client that has used this and created an excellent sales letter. Marlon Sanders has an excellent sales letter software. And those are the two that I recommend. Certainly there's some other good ones out there. These are the two that I've personally had experience with. When I first got started, I wrote a lot of sales letters that converted really well with Brett McFall software. And I don't believe I've used Marlon's. I don't believe – I may own Marlon's, but I don't know that I've used it. I have seen the work that it produces. Recently, a client created a beautiful sales letter using that software. That's what I recommend. Now, for long term, for learning to write your own sales letters, I recommend to go to the copywriting masters. I really do. I recommend going, finding copywriter masters and studying. I'm not going to recommend any one particular person here. I don't believe that the best way for you to learn copywriting is to just study from one person. I really believe you need to take multiple courses, study the great sales letters out there, and practice writing copy. Practice, working it all together. I don't believe there's a one-size-fits-all, learn in 90 days how to write great sales letters that do a great job of persuasion. I could, this is a belief, okay, but I that's my belief from, two places that I get that belief. Number one is my own personal experience, and number two is watching other people as they progress in their sales letter writing. The people that perform the very best, and if you look at the great copywriters, so many have studied from so many different places, so much trial and error, and that's how they've done it. So in short, use sales letter software. I recommend Brett McFall or Marlon Sanders. There's one other type of sales page that has become pretty popular recently, and that is the video sales page. And a lot of folks are using the video sales page. They claim higher conversion rates with the video sales page. One thing that's beautiful about a video sales page is it doesn't take as much time to create if you want to create something yourself. However, there is a formula that needs to be followed to make that happen. And there's a few different folks out there that are teaching that process now. I believe the place where you can probably get the best information on that is from Ryan Deiss, D-E-I-S-S, at TotalAccessClub.com. And he includes a tutorial there on creating video sales pages, how to design the PowerPoint information, and then how to deliver it and what to put in there. Okay. Again, a video sales page is not necessary, and there are some other company people out there that are promoting it. However, I know that Total Access Club includes that information, and it should be real good, solid information for you. Okay, so moving on, let's discuss one more upsell that you could put into a complete funnel. Okay, obviously this is about creating a complete funnel. And we've talked about two places there with two items that you put into a complete funnel. The first one is a product, you know, 1 to 2 hour initial entry level product. And then the second is home study course, a $9.97, 10 CD home study course, or half of that, part one, for $4.97 with some payment options. Another thing that you can add on to your complete funnel very, very quickly is a coaching program. Now, I teach this in my howtosellcoachingprograms.com program, and so I'm not going to go, I mean, we're not going to go into great detail on this here, because the detail is there, and you don't need this, okay? You do not need this to create your product funnel. You'll be able to create all of it with what I've just shared with you, 1 to 2 hours of your entry-level products, 10-hour CDs for $9.97, and then 5 hours for a $4.97 product, okay? However, if you want to add on a coaching program, it's relatively easy to do. In fact, it's very easy to do. You don't even really need a sales page for a coaching program if you're making sales. Because what happens is people that buy from you, a percentage of them naturally are looking for coaching from you. Okay, and you can go anywhere from creating at the highest level a complete sales letter to sell the coaching, all the way down to literally just sending an email out to your list asking people if they're interested in doing some coaching with you. When they write you back, you ask them what they need help with, you tell them what you're able to help them with, okay? You talk about, in these emails going back and forth, you simply talk about what that value somebody be able to get out of it. They'll ask you questions, okay? You'll share the price of your coaching with them, and they will either sign up or they won't. And it can be as simple as that, or it can be as complex as writing a sales letter for the coaching program. Okay, so let's talk about somebody coming into your coaching program. The first person that comes into your coaching program, you are going to write your lessons based on that particular person's needs. So lesson one is something that this person needs. Lesson two is something that this person needs. Lesson three is something that this person needs. Okay. As you create those lessons, you're going to put them into an autoresponder so that anybody in the future that needs a similar coaching to what person number one wanted, you will not have to create fresh lessons. You'll simply put them into the same autoresponder sequence that you took the first client through. Okay, now, if person number two comes along and has a different set of needs, there's two things that you can do. Number one, you could create a second set of lessons for that person. Then in the future, you've got two options of people, types of needs that people can fit into. Or what I recommend is taking the first set of lessons, having your second client go through the first set of lessons. I'm assuming that they're similarly niche. They should be. If you're selling products that are similarly niche, your coaching should be similarly niched. And then go in and add to each lesson what's necessary for client number two. When client number three comes in, go in and add to the lessons what's necessary for client number three. Once you've gone through 5 to 10 clients, you'll have everything in these lessons that almost anybody needs. If somebody needs something that's not on these lessons, after 10 clients, you're probably looking at somebody that needs something different than you're really all about anyhow. And that's when you turn the coaching down. You say, you know what, you find out what their needs are, you find out that you can't help them, and you let them, look, I can't help you, okay? I don't teach on that particular topic. Or you can make the decision to create a new coaching program or continue to add information to the prior. This makes it very, very easy to sell coaching. You can literally sell it before you create it. In fact, it's impossible to create it's impossible to create a perfect round of coaching lessons before people purchase anyhow. Because, I mean, even after someone purchases and you create lessons that work, you're still going to need to make adjustments till you find out what all of the needs, specific needs and questions are in your niche. It's different than creating a product, because with a coaching program, people have questions. So the whole basis of a coaching program is the fact that they can ask questions. That's the biggest difference between a coaching program and just the material. A product is just the material. Coaching is the material plus the ability to ask questions. Okay, folks, let's open this up and take questions or comments on anything that I've covered here about creating your product funnel and creating it quickly.
I had a question. Can you hear me, Sean?
Yes, I can, Leonardo. Go ahead.
Hi. Going back to the bit where you said create part one for half the money, if someone buys that, would you then add in at the end of the follow-up for that product the second half of it? Is that what you do?
For them to purchase?
Yeah, so you're giving them, you're offering them, they buy the 97, then you're offering them the 997, and they don't buy it, they don't buy it on the payments, but then you split it down, you cut it in half, and you offer it for $497. If they buy that, are you then offering them part two later on?
Yes,
if
certainly.
They buy it.
Yes, if they purchase it, they will get offered part two later on. Okay, now, the timing may not be exactly the same, okay, depending on how the material is presented. However, if it's all on one download page and there's 5 hours of content, I would go with the same formula, 7 to 10 days. They've experienced part one. Now here's this opportunity to purchase part two for an additional $497. Okay, now what you could do if you're planning this as your strategy, you could offer part one for $597 instead of $497. Then you could offer part two at a $200 discount for $497. Your total revenue would be the same, within a few dollars. I mean, if we're rounding sevens, you'd be at $994. If they purchase the first part at $597 and the second part at $397, which would be a $200 discount. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. When you're offering the payments on the $997, are you comfortable to just offer it at the same price but split between three payments?
Yes, I'm completely comfortable with that. I'm completely comfortable with that. I do recognize I'm not going to get every single payment. Okay, I'm going to get most payments, but I'm not going to get every single payment. Okay, and it just happens that way. People, you got to understand, if somebody takes your payment option, the reason they didn't pay you the full $997 is usually because they don't have $997 on their credit card. Okay, that's the biggest reason. Sometimes it's because they don't trust you enough. But if you do the kind of marketing that I do with trust at the front end, and they buy a product, they have 7 to 10 days to consume it, they like it, they trust you, okay? The reason, my opinion, the biggest reason they take a payment option is because they simply don't have $997 in the bank. But they do have $335. Okay, now, if they don't have $997 in the bank, then they're pretty much spending what they take in every month, okay? Just economically, that's what's happening to that person, okay? Now, they full well intend to make payment number two and payment number three. And let's say month two comes along and they barely have enough money to pay you, but the payment's coming through and they'll make it happen, okay? If month number three comes along, they've already scrunched in month number two to try to make sure the money's there. And when the month three comes along, it's just not there. The payment's going to fail. Okay, now, a lot of times if you write that person and say, you know, hey, I noticed that the payment failed. You know, how are things going with the product? And they tell you that things are going well and, you know, they're really sorry they couldn't make that payment. You just ask them. You say, well, let me ask you this, John. You know, it's $335. What if I split that into four payments? Would do $87 a month for the next 4 months. Would that be okay with you? You know, what I found is that most people will say, yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for working with me. And it's not that they don't want you to get paid. It's that the reason they took payments in the first place is because they have a finance challenge. Okay, and if you make it now more affordable for them to make that last payment, they'll make it for you. And I've done that before repeatedly in the past where I've refinanced my financing with somebody because that for something happens. And, but you simply have to recognize that sometimes that won't work. They just don't have the money. You know, something happened. They thought they were going to have the money. They don't have it. So you aren't going to make quite as much on your payments. But remember this. They weren't going to buy in the first place, okay? So whatever payments they make is additional revenue for you. Because it's a digital product, it doesn't cost you anything else to allow one additional person to purchase that product, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So if, even if everybody only made two payments, then you'd still be ahead of not giving that payment plan at all.
Cool. And the people that bought it for $9.97, they wouldn't see that payment plan anyway, would they? Because that would be moved off of that list.
Well, you're
right.
I mean, they should not. However, you always want to make sure that you never do anything that's unethical or that people, if they did find out about it, would have a problem. I mean, if somebody paid $9.97 and saw that now there's a payment option for $3.37, you know, 9 times out of 10, I mean, they're obviously the payments are the same. The payments are the same. So it's not like they were cheated by paying a higher price. Okay, they simply didn't have the opportunity to finance it. But remember, they paid the payment. So if they don't have the money, they financed it probably on a credit anyway. So to them, it's no different. They're going to make the same credit card payment every month as if they were to make you monthly payments by breaking it down. Now, that's another value of having a higher price for monthly payments. You know, I think most marketers do a higher price for monthly payments. It helps you cover the fact that you don't get all of your payments all of the time, and it also makes it more reasonable for that client that does pay full price, that the incentive to pay full price is that it's really a lower price. You know, it's $9.97 if you pay for it in full, but if you make payments, it's going to end up being $11.50 or $12.00. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so instead of the three payments at $3.37, they could be at $3.77 or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, sometimes fair, but there's a bit of a premium on it. That's my opinion on it. I believe if you put a bit of a premium on it. You know, and if you're just looking for dollars, split test it. You know, split test everything you do should go into a split tester. So, you know, you could split test what's the conversion rate between 337 and 377, three payments of 377 and three payments of 337. What's the conversion rate? Is there a significant difference? Well, if there is, maybe you go with 337. Split test that versus four payments of 250. You know, what worked better? Five payments of 197. You know, again, I have this set up so that, I mean, the key here is, and I see so many marketers, they want to do all of this at one time. They want to have a $9.97 offer and a 3x37 and a 10x$120, and then people choose one of the three. I personally believe that total conversion rates over a week or two, because I don't have to get paid today. It doesn't make any difference to me if I get paid today or in 7 days. I don't care if somebody buys today or in 7 days. It doesn't matter to me. The money's going to spend exactly the same when I get it. So I don't care if they buy today, if they're just going to buy in 7 days. It doesn't make any difference to me. Okay, now, if they're not going to buy in 7 days, I want them to buy today. Okay, but if we have multiple opportunities for people to maximize the people that will buy at $9.97, maximize the people that will buy at three payments, maximize the people that will buy at 10 payments, maximize the people at $4.97, maximize the people at three at 170, maximize the people at five at 97, then I'm able to generate the maximum number of sales in 21 days instead of the minimum number of sales all on day one. And I'd rather take the maximum number of sales spread out over 21 days than the minimum number of sales spread out over 3 days. Can you see that?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Any other questions on anything that I've taught here?
Yeah, this is Jeff. I have two.
Jeff.
All right. The first one, you and I have been emailing back and forth. since the class a week or two ago, I started with the funnels. And I'm not sure if I have more entry-level products than I think I have. What I was trying to do is create funnels from what I already have and put more spokes in the fire out there as entry-level things. And based on what you taught on today, I'm not sure that things work together where they all go to a home study course. So I guess my first question is do your six entry-level products all point to the same upsell home study next level? Do they all point in that direction?
Well, Jeff, long-term, they don't have to. Keep in mind that what I've just taught is giving the concept that somebody can start from zero and create six products in a couple of weeks and create a home study course that goes along with them. In your case, you've already got products. You may find that you've got three entry-level products that really fit with one home study course. You've got four that fit with a different one, six others that fit with the third one. Then in your case, you would have multiple back-end products. Absolutely. And really the model that I've given here, again, it's an expandable model. This is simply the foundation, and you can bolt onto the back of it as much as possible. You know, this is not designed to be, this is exactly the way that it has to be done. This is more designed as, this is one way that you can get this done really, really quickly so that you have a foundation so that you can begin to plug other things into the back of it and add to it and add to it and add to it over time.
Okay. Well, I think what I did was I was thinking very linearly when it came to these funnels, and I linked up a free report to an entry level product that I was going to be offering during that, and then that led to its own upsell and things like that. So I ended up with 13 linear funnels, but I think that I can actually spread that out some more so that many more all go into the same upsell, so I can actually spend more time creating my upsell products because I have, like I said, I believe I have more entry-level products at different price points than I thought I had. So that's question number one. And at the moment now, I can't remember what question number two was. You were just talking about it with Leonardo. I don't know. If it comes up again, I'll bring it up. But that answers one of my questions.
All right. Sounds good, Jeff. Very good. Any other questions or comments specifically on this product creation process? I'll open up things for other questions in just a moment. Any other questions on this product creation quickly process?